It is good to be here this morning as we're here to study the Word of God and put to practice the things that we study from time to time. This morning, I want to talk about, do you have confidence in prayer? Do you have confidence in prayer? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Let's open your Bibles there. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. As we are looking at prayer, and do I have confidence in prayer? Do you have confidence in prayer? John, the Apostle John, he was writing to Christians. And he says, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, according to his will means that it's got to come from the New Testament. It's things that will come from the New Testament. That's his will. Remember, we talked about where I think Paul told the brethren of Ephesus, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So the things we ask got to come from the New Testament. I believe that's what he's talking about there. If you would look at verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That word petition, it means really, he's talked about things that we ask, petition, things that we ask, we request. And then he says there in verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that we should pray about that. This sin that's leading to death is sin that people won't repent of, won't confess of. I tried to come up with an example of a sin that's leading to death, and I thought about Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. I'm not going to turn over there. And Simon, what he tried to do, you remember? He tried to buy the land on of the apostles' hands with money, that gift. And Peter told him, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart should be forgiven thee. Peter told Simon, you're full of bitterness and a bond of iniquity. And then Simon said, Peter, pray for me that none of those things will come upon me. Now, here was a man whose sin was a sin that was not leading to death because he repented of it. If he had not repented of it, it would have been a sin leading to death. Okay? So any sin that people commit and they don't repent of, that sin is a sin that's leading to death. Sins that people repent of and get rid of is not sin leading to eternal death. Hope you can see that. I think so. I'm here to encourage God's people to pray more. Just to pray more. John has written a book that gives assurance. We sing blessed assurance for Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So we have assurance. 1 John 5 and 13, if you look at that again, and we'll be reading these a repetition of them, that's okay. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Underscore, continue to believe. See, we have to continue to believe. A person cannot just believe, say he can believe for 50 years. And then all at once he stopped believing. He's going to lose out. He'll lose his soul. We have to continue to believing and to believe until the day we die. And that's what he says there in verse 1 John 5 and verse 13. The assurance of eternal life depends on believing God or having confidence in God's testimony. 1 John 5 and 9, look at there. Look there at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9 down to verse 11. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe in God, he who does not believe God, has made him a liar. Don't believe in God. Even though all the evidence that God shows man, even through creation and through the word, man don't believe it. So let's look at that again. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And we'll read down to verse. And look at verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Got to believe. I met a brother. Well, he wasn't a brother at the time. He was just a sinner. He said, now, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the Son. He said, you won't be saved until you get that right. And maybe a year later, I met him again. He said he was baptized, and he said, I finally got that right. And you have to get it right, because if you don't believe in Jesus' Son, you can't go to heaven, you can't be saved, because we have to come in contact with the blood of Christ, with Jesus' Son's blood. And that's what washes our sins away. Believing God or having confidence in God's testimony. 1 John 5, and we read 9 through 11. God has guaranteed us eternal life. 1 John 5, 11 and 12, which we already read that. He has guaranteed us eternal life. Now, that's on the condition that we have to be faithful to God. We're gonna fall. We're going to mess up. Got to get it right. And no telling how many times we fall and mess up. But we still, when we repent of that, he forgives us. And that's just the way that works. That's the way that works. There's another way to reveal confidence in God. I mean, we got to have the confidence in God, and that we're going to focus on this, how we are able to have this confidence in God. The reason for confidence, 1 John 5:14. Remember we read just a few minutes ago. Let's look at that again. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now note the force of the conjunction. And this is the confidence. Do you have confidence in God? It's something that you keep it to yourself, but do you have really confidence in God? Do I have confidence in God? we have confidence in God saving us. We do. We have confidence in God saving us. I don't think you'd be here if you didn't feel like God would save you. And I know you understand the fact that you need God. That's why we're here. I need Him. That's why I'm here. We also have confidence in prayer. That's why we pray. We have confidence in prayer. Foundation of the confidence in Him. We have it in Him. God is faithful. Look at 1 John 1, 8 and 9. 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 9. Now He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. We can depend on God. 1 John 1 and 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now we want to make sure that we understand the fact that as we go through life, we have to learn to sin less and not sin more. But sometimes at our very best, we're going to sin. But look what happened here in verse 9. If we confess our sins to God, we know He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. He forgives. Now, man may not, but God does. God is just. God is forgiven. And that's a lesson that we have to learn to, as a congregation, we have to learn to forgive, because people just going to mess up. You take some congregation got 300 or 400 people, those people better learn to forgive, because, you know, there's going to be some, at times, people going to offend each other, but we just have to forgive one another. We just have to forgive one another. That's just the way that goes. I think Jesus said offense is going to come. But we just have to learn to forgive. And we have to forgive, because if we don't forgive one another, Christ won't forgive us. We have scriptures right after scriptures that deals with that. And for a church to be what God would have it to be, it's going to take a lot of patience. It's going to take a lot of forgiveness. It's going to take long suffering. And that's what's going to make a strong church. God loves us. He does. He loves us. 1 John 3. And let's look at 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. He loves us. And He'll never stop loving us. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. See, the world don't know where we're coming from. They think we're strange. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There in verse 3, let's look at verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure, has this hope. I was just studying this here. Has this hope means the hope of seeing Jesus and being like Him. That's the hope of seeing Him and being like Him. Christians must continually strive to live a pure life. We continue to strive to live a pure life. Got to keep on working on that. Jesus illustrated some good points here. His illustration, Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And just look at verse 7 there. Matthew 7 and verse 7. This is what Jesus tells his disciples. He says, ask. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Of course not. He's going to give his son what he asked for. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Of course not. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? If you go back there, we look at there, it says, if you then been evil, and this is used as a contrast with God. You know, anybody that stands up against God, you know, his life ain't going to be like Jesus Christ. That's just what. And he can go around telling everybody he's perfect and he's sinless and all that, but that's just not going to be true. God said, if you then been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Standing up, and I believe that is used as a contrast with God. You stand up against God, oh boy. But one day we're going to be like him, or he's going to make us that way. But right now we're just going to have to strive to be like him, the songs that we sing. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, oh, how long to be like him. And so holy and all of those things. We got to work on it, but at our best, we're going to fall. That's just it. God hears us. 1 John 5:14. Go back there. He hears us. Yes, sir. He hears us. We have to work on things and get it right. Once we get that right, he hears us. 1 John 4:14. And it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. I didn't read this enough. Y'all probably got this memorized. That's good. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What is hearing? A means of sound impression. Our brain, having this sound upon our brain. If God hears us, he knows our needs. He knows our needs. God hears our prayers. When we're faithful to him, God hears our prayers. His ears are open to our prayers. If you look at 1 Peter 3, verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. That word deceit just means lying and carrying on. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now watch verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So when we are faithful to God, he hears us. He hears us. The response of confidence, 1 John 5:15. We read 1 John 5:15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And we know that the things that we ask for, when we receive those things, we use those things to glorify God. Everything we do, it must glorify God. We know He hears us. He has full knowledge of what we are going to ask before we ask. He already knows us. He created us. He has full knowledge of us. Know by one of the senses. He knows us. Do I know me? Remember, Paul said, "What things knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" I should know me. And we know God knows us, and we don't know what's on God's mind unless He tells us. And how does He tell us? He tells us through the Word. He tells us through the Word. Know by reliable testimony. You can depend on God. We know because of our confidence in God. We know. If a person don't have confidence in God, he need to have confidence in Him. We know we have the petitions we ask and we desire. I have a few more points here. We'll bring it to a close. Men know the value of petitions. You know, people get others to sign petitions. A petition is an earnest request, entreaty, formal written request made by to a superior, as Webster gives us the definition. This idea of asking is found in 1 John 3:22. A few more verses here. 1 John 3:22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Now, one of the commandments that we know that we got to learn to keep is just some time, just study it. I know we get it here, but we need to spend some personal time studying, because He wants us to do that. In 5:14, 1 John 5:14, we already read it about having the confidence in God. We read that just a few minutes ago. And then we also read about their sins leading to death, and then their sins not leading to death. We desire certain things in life. I think we all do. We all desire certain things in life. Does God know what things we should desire? Let's look at Matthew 6, 7, and 8. Matthew chapter 6, 7, and 8. Coming to the end of the lesson. Matthew chapter 6, 7, and 8. And God, when we pray, God wants us to not to do that, to be seen of people, of men. And He says in verse Matthew 6, 7, and 8, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they should be heard for there are many words." In other words, vain repetition would be saying the same. If you listen to people's prayer and praying too, vain repetitions would be like saying the same thing over and over, and he's killing time. And they said, "Boy, that was a long prayer. What door? Didn't he really pray?" All he did was kill a lot of time saying the same thing over. But look what he says here. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." So God don't want us to be using the vain repetitions. He don't want us to be using the vain repetitions. If God already knows, somebody said, why ask? If He already knows what we need, then why should we even ask Him? Why should we ask? We need to be aware of the source of our blessings. We need to be aware of the source of our blessings. He wants us to ask Him. And because we need to be aware of the source of our blessings. Develop love for God as we continue to just study the Word of God. We also need to pray for the rulers and those in authority. Let's look at one more scripture. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Let's look at this one here and we'll bring it to a close. I know we live in a messed up country, messed up world, but let's keep praying for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Are you listening? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I say that to get your attention. That's a preacher's deal. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So as we end up the lesson, have confidence in prayer. Have confidence in God that He'll give us the things that we need. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. After hearing the gospel, you need to believe the gospel. Then you need to repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men and be buried with Him in baptism. If you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make your life right with God while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.